The head of the International Monetary Fund says a U.S. default would hammer the global economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. In a speech today in New York, Christine Lagarde, the newly minted IMF chief, said if U.S. leaders don't show, her words, political courage in raising the debt ceiling, then the world economy will suffer. The Treasury Department maintains it could run out of money in a week on August 2nd, but some analysts say the government will not default until perhaps a week or two later. Whenever that possible default comes, those people with money in the stock and bond markets are keeping a close eye on their investments. Josh Brown is a financial advisor at Fusion Analytics in New York. He's with us now. Good morning, Josh.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. You know, you manage a lot of money for your clients. What are they asking you about this debt ceiling debate?
The most common question that I hear is, Josh, is this something we should be worried about, or is this something we need to do something about?
And what are you telling them?
Most of our clients are investing with the long term in mind. It's important to realize that regardless of what compromise may end up coming about in the long run, none of this stuff is really going to have a huge effect on people. We had a pretty close scare in 1995 and 1996 with a debt ceiling that almost wasn't hiked. Ultimately, it was. If you look back on a monthly stock chart going back 20 years, it doesn't even show up.
Have you taken any action to sort of offset anything that could happen in case of default or downgrade?
What we try to do is explain to people that at any given time, their holdings in the stock market are subject to a 15% correction out of nowhere. The discussion could go past the deadline. There could absolutely be ratings agencies downgrades of U.S. debt. Can I afford all of the money that I have in stocks? Can I afford for that to lose 15%? If the answer is no, then you have too much money invested in stocks, and understand that stocks, by definition, are a risk asset.
Josh Brown, financial advisor in New York. Josh, thanks.
Thank you.
And as far as global investors are concerned, U.S. government debt used to be the safest of safe investments. But during a time of uncertainty, a lot of folks have been searching for an even safer haven, Swiss francs. Here's the BBC's Imogen Folks.
Switzerland may be a small country, population just short of 8 million, but it's also traditionally a very stable one. The franc has risen 30% against the dollar over the last year. Foreign exchange specialist Richard Driver from Caxton FX says traders see the franc as the safest bet around.
The appeal of the dollar and the yen is really taken a downturn, and the Swiss franc is the obvious alternative to those two, and to those investors who want to keep money in Europe but don't want to go for the euro, because there's a genuine chance of a total collapse in the eurozone.
But a strong currency has its downside. Switzerland's tourism industry is suffering. Foreign visitors are staying away, while the Swiss are neglecting their own resorts in favour of cheap holidays abroad. In Switzerland, I'm the BBC's Imogen Folks for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ is up slightly, but the Dow is down about 0.5%, 69 points to 12,522. Research group The Conference Board said today consumer confidence edged up this month. Home prices also went up a full percent in May, according to Case Shiller. State of California today is set to borrow $5 billion through a temporary loan. That's in case of any credit market disruption if U.S. lawmakers don't raise the federal debt ceiling by next week's deadline.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
The state of Arizona says it can no longer afford to pay for Medicaid health care for some of its recipients. From Phoenix, here's reporter Paul Atkinson.
Arizona sent out 250,000 notices this month explaining the change to its Medicaid program. The state is not cutting coverage, it's freezing enrollment for a population most states don't cover, childless adults. So if recipients become ineligible because their earnings exceed the income threshold, they can't renew their policy. The state's Medicaid director, Tom Betlock, says he expects 100,000 childless adults will lose coverage in the first year.
We obviously regret that we have to make these decisions as well, but they are decisions that have to be made because of the economic circumstances we're going through here in the state of Arizona.
Arizona voters approved expanding Medicaid eligibility in 2000. Money from the state's tobacco settlement initially covered the additional cost. But now, with one in five Arizonans receiving Medicaid, the state is having to chip in. This year, fully 12% of its budget. At the same time, the state is trying to recover from an historic drop in revenue triggered by the financial crisis.
So with the general fund losing about a third of its revenue stream, and the fact that the program grew by 300,000 members during the first couple of years of the recession, those types of fiscal pressures really became unmanageable and unsustainable for the state.
But critics of Arizona's Medicaid cutbacks think policymakers overreacted. Because of the cuts, the state will lose $1 billion in federal matching funds. And there will be indirect costs, says Eddie Sissons of the Arizona Foundation for Behavioral Health.
So, you know, whenever I come in with my kid who's broken her arm, or I come in with, you know, a really allergic reaction for a bee sting, which I'm allergic to, I'm going to just wait longer because the emergency rooms are going to be crowded.
Sissons and others warn all Arizonans will pay higher health care costs as hospitals raise everyone else's rates to cover former Medicaid patients. In Phoenix, I'm Paul Atkinson for Marketplace.
Finally, a group of English villagers wanted to break a world record and create the world's smallest pub. So they started pouring pints for patrons in one of those red London telephone booths. You've seen them. Alas, the bar didn't have a license to pour those pints. So the current record stands. The smallest permanent licensed bar in the world is still the 91-square-foot pub in Switzerland, known simply as the smallest whiskey bar on earth. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Just getting a paycheck in the land of 9.2% unemployment is a blessing, right?
The lowest number of deaths is a day before the first, and then there's a large spike in mortality on the first of the month.
Or maybe not. I'm Kai Ruzdahl, the curse of the paycheck, the numbers from Wall Street, and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.